The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, February 26, 2017, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord, Savior, Jesus, our Christ, on this Sunday morning, just before the season of Lent. Let us continue in this time of worship together. For today is the day the Lord has made. May our hearts rejoice. May our spirits be glad. May we know love, joy, and peace that comes from God. And may we thank Him for all those things. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, good morning. Thank you for always being with us and for just enriching our life with opportunities and potential. As we come now to worship you, let us hear your words, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth, for you are spirit, therefore we worship you in spirit. Lead us and guide us, and may we worship you in all that we do and say. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make 3 dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The word of God for the people of God.
Transfiguration of the Lord Sunday. It marks the beginning of our season headed toward Easter. Wednesday, of course, Ash Wednesday, a day of remembering that from dust we were created, to dust we shall return. reminded us of our mortality and maybe even the brevity of life itself. But today, as we look at this transfiguration, I'm going to try to do some stuff, and I hope you can see this. It would be better if I had a better way to do this for you than just a little flip chart. And it'd be better if you guys, I'm going to have to do the Vanna White thing, I think, maybe, you know, kind of turn it around for you so you can see it. But as we look at this scripture this morning, this transfiguration, kind of what comes to mind? To be transfigured means to be what? Changed, transformed, to be from one thing to something else. Well, I want to introduce something today, and the title of the sermon is Now to Jerusalem. In Matthew's gospel, it's at this point that Jesus is setting his face, his destination, and determination to fulfill God's call to move toward Jerusalem. Just before this passage, Jesus has told them how he'd suffer and die, and following this 9 verses, he'll tell them again. But now, Matthew writing to a Jewish reader, none of this is wasted, but maybe to us, a little bit is. How many of you have had a mountaintop experience in your life? Not where you fell off. Yeah. Maybe the other phrase would be, how many of you have had a burning bush experience in your life? You can raise your hand. We're not voting on anything. You know, it's that euphoric, you know, we reach it and maybe it would be a eureka moment, or I have found it, or maybe it's that moment when the light bulb finally goes on and stays. You know, I've had a lot of light bulb moments, but it's been the bulb burning out, you know, not staying on. But we have those, and the world has a definition for that, doesn't it? When you reach the pinnacle of success and when everything's going your way, it's said to be a mountaintop experience. And we, the faith community, we get to have more mountaintop experiences, but they're a little different than those the world. But we get those too. We get bonuses. We get extras. So Jesus is fulfilling prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. And the Jewish reader of this, it's not lost on them. But sometimes it is for us. Now you're going to get 4 minutes of what Sunday school got 45 minutes of this morning. I'm going to tie it all together. I have to leave out the YouTube video and all of the stuff I used back there. But you kind of get I hope I get the point across. How many of you remember these two people in the text, Moses and Elijah, from your readings? Do you remember them? Okay, what happened to Moses? He killed an Egyptian. Oh, not that story. He ran away. Not that one either. He married this woman from another race. Oh, never mind, not that story. Darn. He didn't get circumcised according to the law. Wait a minute. That wasn't the law yet. I'm confused. Moses. Oh, yeah, Moses. What's Moses so famous for? Carrying a big stick? Yeah. What was that? Burning bush, yeah. He had a burning bush experience. He goes up. Where's he at? He's on a mountain, right? He's out herding sheep, right? And he looks over and something's going on. What is it? There's a bush burning, but it's not consumed. And Moses catches his attention. Would it yours? And he goes and he says, I got to go see why this thing isn't burning up. I mean, it's got a fire. I don't understand this. And Moses goes over and what happens? God says, whoa, take off your shoes. For the ground on which you stand is holy ground. A mountaintop experience again for Moses. But that's not his last one, is it? The nation of Israel is led out of slavery and bondage in Egypt. They're in the wilderness and they find themselves at the mountain of what? Sinai. And what happens? They gather around the mountain and God shows up in clouds, thunder, and lightning. And what happens to the people? God wants to have a conversation with them, but they decide, nope, we'll send Moses. Moses, you go for us. So Moses goes up on the mountain to speak with God. What happens? He says, God, I want to see you. And God says, you can't, you'll die. But I tell you what I'll do. I'll hide you in the cleft of a rock, and I'll put my hand over you, and one aspect of me is going to go by. Hidden in a rock with the hand of God over him, God lets what aspect, do you remember? Glory pass over. What happens to Moses? White head, poof. He's transfigured. Moses will actually wear a veil to hide that from the people so they don't get afraid. Now we've got a prophet in the story too, right? Elijah. Remember him? Anybody remember his story? Who was following him around everywhere? Elisha. I promise I'll probably mix them up. That'll just happen. So Elisha's following Elijah around, right? Why? Because Elijah told him, if you get my cloak when I'm gone, you get my power, right? So what happens? He follows him through thick and thin. He is his shadow. He goes with him everywhere he goes. And guess what happens? Elijah gets taken away on a chariot into heaven. And what does Elisha get? A coat. Two people are transformed, right? A human goes to heaven, but he didn't die. I think that took a little transformation, don't you? And he leaves behind what? A coat. This other guy goes on a mountain, gets the law, gets all of that stuff, and he gets transformed too, right? So now we have two people on the mountain with Jesus. Wouldn't be wasted on a Jewish reader. We have who? I've got a triangle up here, but pretend it's a mountain for a minute, okay? Pretend it's a mountain. So we got who over here? We got Moses, right? And then we got Elias. I'm drawing an M and an E on here on the points of the bottom part. So now we've got Moses and Elijah here on there. What do they represent? I think we could say Moses equals the law, right? Lawgiver. But what about Elijah? The prophets. I'll abbreviate it sort of like that. So you got the prophets and the law. Okay? So now you've got these two are represented. And what else do they represent? I'm trying to hurry. I know I'm going to be late. And I'll say prayer so you can just go back there and start eating. So you have to wait on me to do that too. So we'll move forward with that. So what else do they represent? Moses and the law represents what? Past. What God has done. He has given the law. He has given this relationship, he has called the people, he has been with them, he's delivered them to the mountain. It's what God has done. The prophet represents the future, right? What God will do, what God can do. The prophet represents what's yet to come. It's kind of like that Ebenezer Scrooge line Dennis reminded us of this morning. Are these the visions of what has been or what will be to come? It's that prophecy of the future, of what God will do, of what is coming. Jesus combines the law with the prophets, doesn't he? Jesus is up here. So if Jesus is on the top of the triangle, are you seeing threes at work here? Are you seeing a Trinity thing going on here? So Moses is law, Elijah's the prophets. Moses is the past. Elijah's the future. What is Jesus? Present. For he is raised from the dead and is present with us. Present. And promises to never leave us. The past, the future. For us as Christians, the Jewish person would read that and go, wow, that's a fulfillment of the prophecies, because what part of Jesus got transfigured? On a mountaintop with the voice of God, but there was some differences. In Moses' story, it was a dark cloud. In Jesus' story, it's a bright cloud. Jesus' head is transformed, but so is his cloak. In the story of Moses, his head, not his cloak. Ah, do you get that? Arriving here. For us as Christians, we need to connect those dots too. For we as Christians have mountaintop experiences, but we don't always see them, and I want to help us see them. We have those moments of mountaintop experiences in the midst of the worst moments in our lives. We can have a mountaintop experience at any time. A mountaintop experience for us as Christians is where the past meets the future in the present. What did I just say? Where the past meets the future in the present. Our mountaintop experience comes in that moment when we figure out God has been with us, that in Christ God is with us, and that God goes before us. Our mountaintop experience can come in the midst of the darkest moment of grief that we may suffer, and in a time of despair when we find ourselves trusting in God, looking back, reflecting back, and seeing where God has been, and trusting that God has got us into the future in Christ Jesus, who is with us in the present. It's the unique promise of Jesus that I am with you always. Present. Present. It's the only way that it works. It defies the logic of humanity that the past and the future can meet in the present except in the person of Jesus Christ, Savior and Redeemer. Transformed on a mountain, crucified on a cross, and raised from the dead. Seen by his disciples. Oh, by the way, he took 3 disciples on the mountain. That was the minimum number required in Jewish law for a witness to these events, to give them validity. Well, Pastor, how does that apply to me and you? It applies this way. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Father proves that he is with us. Just think about it for a minute. Close your eyes for a minute. No snoring. If you need a nap, maybe that's what you need. Think about where God has been in your life. Look back. And think about those times when only God could have got you through it. Think about those times when it was but God's grace that you got through it. But you didn't know it until later. You see, that's God showing us that he is with us. Okay, you can come back now. That's the past. He's forgiven my sins. That's the past. He has given me a new future in the present in Christ Jesus. A mountaintop experience for us as Christians comes every time we take a moment and reflect on where God has been and that trust where God is going. How many of you have ever been in a situation you didn't know how it would turn out? How many of you have been in a situation where you were unsure and you were taking that proverbial step, leap, dive of faith kind of reminds me of walking in the desert right now. Carrie's doing that. And if you ever go follow where Carrie's been in the desert, you're going to find it very humorous, because you're going to find footprints, and then you're going to find kind of like swimming things where she goes in too deep and you can't just walk. It's taking that step of faith and not knowing if there's something there and trusting God that there is. You see, we only can take that step if we trusted God in the past and found Him to be faithful. It's when we look back and we say, okay, God, you know, You've always been there. I'll take this step. When we look back, we see where He's been. And then we remember He's with us in the present. And He goes before us. How many of you are future tellers? Anybody? I don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. I mean, I got plans, but that don't mean any of them are going to come true. You know, one phone call takes it all away, doesn't it? It turns it upside down. I don't know, but God does. You see, God knows where you've been, and He's forgiven you of your sins. He's helped you and given you strength. He's with you in the present to touch your life wherever you are, whether you are on a mountaintop, whether you're going through great success, or whether you're going through the darkest valley. You need to know He is with you, and you can have this mountaintop experience, trusting God where He's been, trusting God where He's at, and knowing He's got your future tied down. The transformation for us is every day as Christians. It isn't once in a while. It isn't ever so often. It isn't annually. It isn't that time, whatever. It's every time that we go before God, we can find a transformative moment. God can redeem any moment you find yourself in, good or bad. You know, sometimes good moments are more tempting than bad, aren't they? Sometimes, you know, we can have it too good. You know, sometimes we spoil our kids, don't we? I hope Trinity's listening. Maggie has left the room. Sometimes we spoil our kids, don't we? When the best thing we should do is let there be balance. A little of this, a little of that, live, give and take. Sometimes God has to do that with us, don't He? He gives us our needs, but what about our wants? That may not be good for us. So what about this transfiguration? If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you've been transformed. You've been changed. You may look the same from the outside, but your heart's been changed. Well, Pastor, sometimes it takes a little while. Sometimes it's a process. Remembering this process that goes on of looking back and seeing where God's at, knowing Christ with us and Christ going before us. It's that moment when the past meets the future in the present that we can find transformation in whatever part of our life we're in, anytime. Or a prayer and a moment of silence from a transformation. I do need to give you a caveat here. Sometimes we experience those moments of transformation to prepare us for what's going to come in our lives. Sometimes we are about to experience a major change, a major shift, a major revelation from God in our life. He may call us to a new place, a new space, into new situations. It may be scary. It may be trying. The transformation of Jesus led to the cross. But for us, the change may be more subtle and simple, but maybe it's not. I bet some of you have been there, haven't you? I bet you've been right there of where that challenge is at. For me, it was my call and answering it into ministry. That was one of the big ones. Man, I felt like I was stepping off into the abyss. I didn't want to be a preacher. What about you? Are you facing something right now? You don't know. Take a moment. Look back and see where God has been. Know Christ with you in that moment. And take that step of faith, knowing that He goes before you. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a minute. Pastor, I'm struggling through some stuff, and you know, maybe your message this morning is telling me to get ready. Would you pray for me this week as I go before this? If you'd like that prayer, lift a hand this morning. Amen. Pastor, I've got some difficult decisions that are ahead of me. Would you remember me in prayer? Slip your hand up. Amen. Pastor, I've got some friends that are really struggling with stuff, and I'm sort of struggling with some stuff in my faith journey too. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up so I can pray for you. Pastor, I'm going to pray for my brothers and sisters this week. And I know everybody struggles. And Pastor, I'm just going to pray for everybody I can think of this week to know God and that peace and to experience that transformation every day if they need it, or several times a day if it's needed. If you commit to that prayer, would you slip a hand up and amen, take it back down. Gracious and loving God, maybe we're at a crossroad where life has brought us into this journey. Oh, gracious and loving God. Maybe, Father, we're looking back. We're seeing where you have been, where your hand has touched us, and we arrive in the present where Christ and His Holy Spirit is leading us in to a future that's quite different. Maybe it's you calling us as individuals or as a church, whatever that call may be. May we sit in that moment where the past meets the future in the present and hear from you, a loving God who knows our heart and has called us His own. May we truly experience these transformation moments. May we truly, truly find ourselves on the mountaintop of faith, trusting you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now may the grace and peace of God go with you, bless you, and keep you. May His countenance shine upon you. May His love fill you anew today. May you reflect and enjoy those mountaintop moments where the past has been, where the future is going, and where Christ is. Now go in peace in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The preceding was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. If you would like copies of this message for friends or family, you may contact us at area code 307-362-5334. Our email address is rsfumc@hotmail.com. Visit our website at www.rsumc.org. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. You are cordially invited to join us in worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings.